Psalm 145, 13b, it's just the last half of the verse. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. You have to know the promises in order to trust accurately. There's a risk of inaccurately placing trust in something God never promised. And this was one of the biggest things I saw when faith was challenged or lost when I was in counseling. People were counting on God to do something he never said he would do. So it's very important that you study the Word, the Bible, enough to know what God promises, who he says he is, how he says it works, so that when you're trusting for what he's going to come through with. If you're trusting for something he never offered, you're going to be real disappointed. And God tends to get blamed when we do that. And that's not fair to him, you know. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Notice the time framework, all generations and forever. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful. And note that it doesn't depend on us. How reassuring that is, that God's faithfulness is always there. In Lamentations, because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is interesting from a writing point of view. It changes from the third person talking about God to the second person talking to God. And do you notice how often it is when we're reading his word or praying about things that it brings us into that relationship with him, going from being about him to being right there with him. 2 Thessalonians, but the Lord is faithful. He'll strengthen and protect you from the evil one. I think of this as protection inside and out, from the evil one trying to destroy us from within, but we're also strengthened to deal with those circumstances on the outside around us. 1 Peter, so then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. I hope I'm not stealing any of Janet's material. She may have that verse too. But suffering doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. And think about what does it mean, suffering according to God's will? If we sin and we're outside his will, we can be suffering, but that wasn't anything he ever wanted for us or was going to allow for us, except that, oh, we just jumped over the line and got there anyway. So there's two different kinds of suffering. There's suffering that we just got ourselves into because we weren't walking in his ways, and there's suffering according to his will, which means he might not have planned it, but he allowed it. And so if we know we've been walking with him and suffering comes anyway, the very least he allowed that there. And when that happens, we got some advice on how to deal with it. Commit ourselves to our faithful Creator and continue to do good. Notice the compliment that you're continuing to do good. It's assumed that you've been doing good if you've been in his will. Okay, a definition of trust: firm reliance on the integrity, ability, or character of a person or thing, confident belief or faith, something committed into the care of another. You would think that it wouldn't be that hard to trust, but there are Bible verses about the way we resist trusting because it doesn't come naturally. One I've always thought about a lot is Isaiah 30, 15b. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. why wouldn't I have it? It sounds great. But how many times have I found myself just having none of it? Nope, not for me. You know, it's not something you would logically want to just toss. No, but that's the way we are. In repentance and rest is your salvation. And quietness and trust is your strength. But is that where I'm at? Oh, no. I am biting my nails and nervous. It's so easy, though, if we choose to move into the trust position. Deuteronomy, in the desert, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey. They'd been carried, they'd been provided for, he'd been right there with them. He'd been real hard to miss, let's put it that way. But it was still hard to trust under those circumstances. So if you find that it's hard, well, you're not all alone. God has written about that and understands that real well. I have a little life story here. I was almost 7 years old when my dad died of a heart attack at work. The unthinkable had happened, and my life view of security was shattered. Trust has always been harder for me than most people because of this. After the initial grief passed, I worried that Mom could die also, and there'd be no one to love me just for who I was. She assured me that she was younger than Dad and healthier. She also said if she should die unexpectedly, there were arrangements for me and my brother to live with our grandparents, with whom we had enjoyed 2 extended visits. I knew they loved me the way Mom did, that I was special to them, and I was reassured. God worked through this loss in my life to build compassion into me at a deep level, eventually preparing me for a career in counseling. It was a major way I would be his vessel. He also knit my family together very closely. A year after Dad's passing, Mom moved us to her folks' farm where I lived my ages 8 to 16. It was in a nearby country church that I found Jesus as Savior. The grand folks expanded my family. I and my brother saw them daily. In adult life, after marriage to my husband Larry, we returned to the farm to raise our children there. Mom had already returned, and a decade or so later, my brother joined us. We are all together on the place to support our kids and later to support Mom through her old age. I have to say, I saw God's hand at work all the way through. Okay, we're going to move on to what's titled as the because verses. If I hadn't cried all through Debbie's presentation, that was so good, Debbie. Thank you. Okay, just take a few moments and read those silently. Okay, this grouping is fascinating to me, the because verses. It gives us a role in the outcome. We're talking about things we can't control. God actually says when we are trusting him, then he behaves differently for us. How do you feel about that? This is a two-edged sword, you know? I want to be trusting, but that feeling just isn't there. It reminds me of the verse, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. Maybe we can do that with trust. I trust you, Lord. Help that untrust, that distrust, because I want to be all the way there in trusting you. And as he does that, as he helps us trust, that also impacts the outcome of what we're trusting about. I think this is an awesome comment on relationship with God, that he would give us that incredible gift, that kind of interaction between us and him and moving through a real hard situation. That's just incredible to me. Okay, another little life story. In 1977, my husband and I separated. It was a very hard time in our marriage. We told Larissa, who was almost 4 years old, that Daddy would be living in an apartment in town, and she and Barton would be visiting him there on weekends. She accepted this calmly. After Larry moved out, I was working in Portland, commuting over an hour in each direction and taking the kids to a sitter along the way. I had no inkling how much Larissa was processing about the major change in living arrangements until one morning on the way to the sitter, she began talking. Remember, she was not quite four. She said, "Mommy, I know why Daddy moved into an apartment in town." I thought, this should be good. I said, "Why, honey?" She prefaced her answer with a story. She said, "Remember when you were a little girl and you were the big sister and Grandma Eileen was the mommy and Uncle Ken was the little brother?" "Yes," I said. "Well," she said, "you know how Uncle Ken grew up and he got an apartment in town." "Yes." "Well," she said, looking very satisfied with herself, "that's what's happening to Daddy." "He's growing up." "Yes, honey," I said, "that is right. Daddy is growing up." Of course, I was doing some growing up of my own. Then silently I said, "Thank you, God, out of the mouth of babes." God protected Larissa by letting her normalize this hard time in her life. And he spoke to me also. I want to recite or read a poem for you. It's the only poem of mine that I consider inspired. I wrote it the night before my 30th birthday, trying to put a form or a shape to the feelings so deep about the separation that I could not name them. But when the words came, they were from outside me, as though the words were being put into my mind, and only then did I recognize them as thoughts and feelings from my own depth. The poem is called "Growing Pains," just in case I lose it. "'Tis a time for courage strong, to look so deep, so wide, so long. I hope I find it soon enough, for the battle looms quite tough. There is no doubt within my mind, I must look forward, not behind, not only just because they say, but I believe it is the way. I have to give, despite the pain. I have to give and ask no gain. Time will be and time will come. I'll have my share, I know where from. But for now, the path is rough. I wish my heart was sterner stuff. Yet life will not just pass me by. The pain will strengthen, edify." God resolved this situation with our reconciliation after 5 months of separation. We did a year of marriage counseling and many subsequent returns to counseling over the years. Our marriage has grown solid and is a great blessing. We sometimes still quote the saying that God does not put us with the spouse who would be the easiest to live with, but the one who causes us to grow the most. However, one of the most significant changes was Larry's encounter with God and commitment of his life to him within a month or so of his return home. He only told me about it a few months later. One night in bed, totally awake and feeling really badly about the trouble in our marriage and about himself, Larry silently called out to God. A light came suddenly, entering him, moving from head to toe, completely filling him. Along with it came total acceptance, which Larry had never known so deeply and completely. He knew it was God, and they communed with thoughts, not vocalized words. That night, Larry claimed Jesus as Savior and committed his life to God. This also brought me and Larry closer together. Yes, God is faithful. God used me as his vessel in reuniting with Larry, which softened Larry's heart. But then God connected with Larry to bring Larry to himself. It's good to know we don't always have to do everything ourselves. Okay, look at the section on trust, feelings, and love. These trust verses all have those themes in them. And read through them on your own. Okay, I know who the speed readers are. How are the rest of you doing? A brief life story. In 2004, I knew I was having memory problems when I could no longer remember the important points to cover with a client who was suicidal. He was okay anyway, thanks to God's answer to prayer. Along with other similar issues, I concluded I needed to close Foothills Christian Counseling due to my growing incompetency. I attempted to return to work as a vocational counselor, thinking maybe I could function again at that level. After about a year of working one quarter time for a friend at her company, I told her I didn't think I was able to do that job either, and she agreed. This is awkward. So I resigned in May of 2005. I was lost in a strange world of symptoms not yet diagnosed. These symptoms included loss of short-term memory. I'd forget something I knew well, and then it would come back in 3 weeks or so. For example, at work, I forgot we had a reference book in the office, even though I was the one who had insisted that we order it, and I'd been very happy when it came in a few weeks before. I had spells of disorientation. Sometimes I did not recognize a well-known area for a block or two when driving through, and then I would be oriented again. I could no longer multitask. Attempts to multitask resulted in brain freeze. I had periods of confusion. I forgot where I kept my underwear. I couldn't plug in the vacuum because I couldn't line up the prongs, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong. I would forget part or all of a routine. Forgetting my makeup happened so often, I just stopped wearing makeup except for a little eyeliner so I wouldn't look so different on the days that I didn't have it on. I couldn't do things that I knew how to do very well. I had visual and audio perceptual areas. This affected listening and reading. I experienced sequencing errors, pouring coffee into a travel mug with the lid still in place, stirring my coffee before I put anything in it. You got to get this stuff in the right order, you know? I had difficulty concentrating, and I was easily distracted. Many of these things happened to all of us on occasion, but they were happening to me constantly and seriously interfered with my functioning. I lost confidence, and my self-image was in flux, not sure what part of me was left. I did notice that my analytical ability was still excellent, and that was comforting. By that fall, when my mom was diagnosed with dementia, I was panicky, and I insisted I be tested for Alzheimer's. Larry and I were both greatly relieved when it was found I did not have Alzheimer's. We were in a church of 500 people. One Sunday, at least six people greeted me fondly and intimately with hugs and conversation, indicating we were well acquainted. I faked knowing them, not wanting to hurt their feelings. Then Larry and I changed churches to a very small one of about 30 people where I could function interpersonally. That was a time when my symptoms were severe. The very worst one of all was that I couldn't focus well enough to follow the church service, and I felt very distant from God. It was a physical, mental lack, and I strained unsuccessfully to reach through it. I cried out to God to at least let me stay close to Him. This prayer He has answered since, much to my great relief. It was finally concluded that the condition was caused by brain damage in my first year of life, for which I had always compensated very well until aging was laid over on top of it. I'd done well in honors college and graduate work. My memory was sometimes like a sieve, and I was always absent-minded, but I compensated with organizational skills and reviewing often. Life was normal for me before about 2004, 2005. Prognosis was good at the time of diagnosis of cognitive disorder. And it's better now with significant improvements from brain nutrition supplements, exercises, and lower stress life. It's just that in some ways, my brain will always be older than my age, and abilities are very unevenly distributed. I still have episodes of most of the previous problems, but they're much more minor. I think move more slowly than most people, and I redo more. Lots more. Memory's still on and off. God's hand was in the timing of our lives then in 2005 in an obvious way, and ever since. February of that year, Larry retired. May, I went into early retirement at age 58 due to disability. In September, Mom began needing care both mornings and evenings. Within about a year, I received Social Security disability and continued to be available for Mom's care and semi-retirement with Larry. Cognitive disorder is not something anyone would ever want to sign up for, but God knew this was coming. I almost said he knew it was coming since the brain damage in my infancy, but whoops. Let's try before the world was created. God knew what was coming. He's been there at every step of the way and brought good out of it. In the family time, preserving the heritage of the family farm, which otherwise would have been sold for nursing home costs for Mom, I was able to do most of her care during her later years. Being a vessel for God, when I have so many holes in me and so much brokenness, even in my brain, is a challenge. But I recognize it's through that brokenness in me that God's aroma leaks out also. If you look at the holes back there, there's a lot of aroma that comes out. Sorry. And that's the way he's working in it. As he says, his strength is made perfect in our weakness. Okay, another batch of trust verses. These all talk about concrete results from trusting God. He keeps us protected, safe, helps us, delivers us, blesses us, saves us, and honors us. Take a few moments to read through that selection. Okay, another life story. A little background, and then my medical crisis. We did my mom's care for the last 9 and a half of her last 11 years of life, once her dementia had been diagnosed. This included her last year back home with us, bedridden except for the use of a Hoyer lift. God sustained us and blessed us throughout the challenges of that whole 11 years. Mom went to be with the Lord on August 29th last year. 4 days later, I had a bowel rupture, a very serious condition, but in God's perfect timing. Mom and I were both blessed to be together in her last days. It could have happened a week earlier. Think how different things would have been. My hospitalization didn't create a crisis for her. The funeral was even planned ahead in detail. My groggy time after surgery cushioned my grieving for Mom. I think of her as she was before the dementia, long 11 years ago. I have a question. How many of you have ever worried about a spontaneous bowel rupture putting your life in jeopardy and leaving you in the hospital for 12 days and giving you a permanent ostomy bag? Nobody? Me neither. Never crossed my mind to worry about that. God so lovingly provided for me through it all, including all of your prayers. For me, the ostomy is not being reversed because it solves so many of my physical problems that I was having before. My life is actually better with this as a solution, and it would have needed to be done soon anyway. They say that 97% of what we worry about never happens. We worry about the wrong things. I'm here to tell you, folks, if you take a class in worry, you got to go into it knowing you've been doing it all wrong. I worried about Mom. I worried about her care. I worried about losing the family farm. All that was covered by God's provision. Plus, what I didn't know to worry about was also covered by His excellent care. That's our God, always faithful. I'm running over a tad bit. So, I have a brief section here on acquiring trust. There are 6 points here. The first one we've already talked about, and that is trust accurately. Know God's promises, know His past actions. It's always easier to trust if you can trust accurately. Secondly, thank Him, even when making the request in prayer, when you're talking about what it is that you're worried about. You want to relax and be able to trust, thank Him, even before you see His answer. Third, know that He's always with us. Fourth, expect good to come from whatever situation you're dealing with. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him and keep His commandments. Fifth, use your imagination. If you are a creative warrior, you have thought in great detail about all of the what ifs, as Debbie said, all of the things that can go wrong. Use that imagination to think, what could God do to bring good out of this? Now, it might not be anything He's ever going to do, but it stretches your mind to the possibility, no matter how far-fetched it is. When Larissa had her unexpected, unwanted divorce and came home, Larry and I were very sad for her. But a strange thought crossed our mind. Now, I would give this less than 1/1000% of ever happening, but we said, maybe she'll get married again and she'll marry a farmer and he can help us with all this land we can't manage. We're trying not to pressure her to only date farmers. But it reminded me that something I'd never think of that was good could come out of it. Transfer the concern to God. Remember back here when we did the definition of trust, something committed into the care of another. Mom did a trust for that family farm for me and my brother. She committed it into our care. We do that when we trust God. We commit it into His care. Of course, you know the jokes about it. You take it back every 5 minutes, but keep transferring it back to Him. One thing to keep in mind is that He can do a lot better job of taking care of it than we can. You know, He's just much more effective than we are at our level. So when you're tempted to take it back, remember, you've given it to somebody who's more competent than you are for dealing with that problem. Okay, the table question, I don't know, it's probably printed out, but it's going to be, share a time it was hard for you to trust and how you later saw God working in it, if you want to get a head start thinking about the table discussion. And I have copies of the poem that I quoted that I will pass out to you. Thank you. Pull myself up here. Thank you.